Today is April 8th, year 2007, Easter Sunday. Christ is truly risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
And don't let the Jews lie to you. He is truly risen. And that's what we're going to talk about today, about how almost all men are liars and deceivers from the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Our Lord tells us that in the Old Testament. Jesus tells it in the New Testament. And any men that have a little bit of common sense know that almost all men are liars and deceivers. Now, St. Paul says, if Christ isn't risen, we're quoting from 1 Corinthians 15:17 to 18. And if Christ be not risen again, your faith is in vain, for you are still in your sins, that they also that are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They are not saved. They are not redeemed. They are not resurrected. And in spite of all the evidence and the proof that we have, the real hard proofs that Jesus Christ was the promised Redeemer and the Messiah, the Jews lie about him. They're deceivers. Everybody in their heart is given enough grace from God to know Jesus Christ. And if they don't accept him, it's because of their own bad will. And those who've never had an opportunity to hear about Christ is because they're not cooperating with God where they are by rejecting the falsehoods in their life. And unless you reject the falsehoods and the false religions and the false religious doctrines and that are presented to you in your life, God doesn't owe you future enlightenment. But my point on this is that all men, even if they don't have the true religion, even if they don't believe in the true God yet, all men know, and they can know this just by observing human nature, that almost all men are thoroughly very wicked and evil. And God says in the Old Testament, speaking through King David in Psalm 13:2-3, the Lord hath looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there be any that understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all become unprofitable together. There is none that doth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues, with their tongues they acted deceitfully. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and unhappiness in their ways, in the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And we read again King David in Psalm 61:10. Vain are the sons of men. The sons of men are liars in the balances that by vanity they may together deceive. And that's God in the Old Testament talking about how almost all men are wicked and evil. So wicked and evil that he destroyed almost every man in the time of Noah. And he left how many were alive in the time of Noah only?
Eight.
He destroyed all the rest of mankind. And even the Jews, who are his own chosen people, who are taken out of the promised land, were taken to the promised land and out of Egypt by Moses, and saw all these powerful miracles from the one true God. Could they say that they didn't know God? Can they say that they didn't see his most powerful hand strike down Pharaoh with 10 plagues? Could they not say they really knew who he was? They knew who God was. They didn't like one or more of his commandments, and that's why they rebelled against him in the desert. At the foot of Mount Sinai, you remember when Moses went up to get the 10 commandments, and God said to him, you better get down there quick now, because my people rebelled against me, and they made a golden calf, and they're worshiped by a stupid golden calf that can't even talk or do anything. They really believed, too, by the way, that that calf was God. Now, how can this happen unless all men, almost all men, are liars and deceivers? They're liars. They're not stupid. They don't want to believe the true God because they don't like one or more of his commandments. And because they don't like what the true God is teaching, they rebel against the true God and lie about him. They deceive. They invent idols. Our Lord says in the Book of Wisdom, the invention of idols is the beginning of all evils. It's the beginning and the end of all destruction, the invention and creation and worship of idols, of false gods. So you're looking about in the Old Testament era, the fact that God's telling us almost all men, including almost all of God's chosen people, the Israelites, the Jews under the Old Covenant era, and now Catholics in the New Covenant era, are utterly and thoroughly evil. They will die evil, and they will go to hell that way. They're liars, and they're deceivers, and they know they're liars. You even look at your father, who's now refuting his Protestant parents. He's now a good Catholic, and he wants to remain a good Catholic and save his soul. He's exposing their stupidities. They're saying things that they know are not right, but they want to believe it because they don't like the Catholic Church, because they don't like the Catholic God, because he's the true God who's telling them to do something they don't like. It could be adulterous second marriage. It could be they're doing something sinful in other ways that are rebelling against God's commandments that he teaches through his Catholic Church. And they can simply just be rebellious. They don't want to believe, obey any of constituted authority. and send it to a Roman pontiff or a church that gives them decrees because they want to go their own way. So what we're trying to say here is, people, that God's telling us most men are liars and deceivers. I'm telling you today that Christ is truly risen. In spite of what these bastard Jews are telling everybody and what these other bastard people are trying to tell you, that Christ never either he didn't die on the cross at all or he died and never rose again. And what would that make Christ if Christ didn't rise again? If Christ, that would mean he's a liar. Because what did Christ tell us? He said, I am the Messiah, the promised one that all you people have been waiting for. I am the Redeemer. I've come to offer up my life as a redemption for your sins and so that you may have life everlasting. And to prove it, the resurrection is the crowning proof of everything that he did. Because what kind of a Redeemer would he have been if he couldn't raise from the dead? But indeed he did. And if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then our religion is fake. And the big thrust of the devil you're going to look at today is to discredit our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the true Messiah, the true Redeemer who rose from the dead. And that's why you see blasphemous movies like The Da Vinci Code, who try to say Jesus never rose from the dead. You have the Jews that not only did he say he never rose from the dead, they say he was a malefactor, and he was a black magician, he was a sorcerer, and he was a devil. That's what the Jews believe about Jesus Christ, the ones who are going to be honest with you. Some other Jews lie. And they'll come up and tell you, Jesus was a good man, I like him, I think he was a nice prophet, but he really wasn't the Messiah, and he really wasn't God. Well then, how could he be a good man if you're telling me that? He'd have to be a liar, because he said he was God, he said he was the Messiah, he said he was the Redeemer. So either he's insane, he's a cuckoo brain, and he didn't know what he was talking about, or he's lying. So when a Jew says that, he's just trying to make you, he's trying to attack Jesus in the most very seductive way, by making you believe he likes Jesus. But guess what? He's not liking the true Jesus, because it's the Jesus you're telling me about is not the Jesus in the Gospels. And the Muslims, they're as sneaky too. Because what do the Muslims tell about Jesus? The Muslims pretend, oh, we respect Jesus and Mary because he was a great prophet. The Jews hate Jesus altogether. The Muslims pretend he was only a prophet. But that's just as bad. Because why? He wasn't just a prophet. He was the Redeemer. He was the Messiah, and he rose again on the third day. The Muslims don't believe that. So when the Muslims tell you, I believe Jesus was just a nice guy, he says, that's not the true Jesus. The Jesus you're talking about is a lying Jesus. Our Jesus is the Messiah who redeemed man and rose on the third day. The Muslim Jesus is a phony baloney Jesus also. So what we have going today is the devil's two-pronged attack, because he needs to discredit, as I always say, the true Jesus Christ to bring the Antichrist to power. How else does the Antichrist come to power? Unless he discredits the true Jesus Christ. And the true Jesus Christ is not the Protestant Jesus Christ neither. It's the Catholic Jesus Christ. And it's not the Vatican II Church Jesus Christ that calls itself the Catholic Church. They're not Catholic neither. That's a church of the false prophet. And that's the biggest deception of all. But my point that I want to drive home in this sermon today is to impress into your minds that God has told us time and time again that almost all men are liars and deceivers. Get that up here into your mind and remember that. I want you people, some of you people out there are so stupid, you tolerate these bastard rabbis that get up there and try to say that Jesus never rose from the dead. That Jesus was never crucified by the Jews and it was Pilate's fault. And they lie about the Gospels. And people sit back and you're listening to these Jews. The biggest lie that these Jews told was the original Jews that were back then and crucified Christ and hated him, they lied about his resurrection. And what did they do to the guards? They paid them off a bribe. And the guards knew the resurrection took place, and they said, lie about this thing, and say that they stole his body at the night, because if this ever gets out, boy, we're in trouble. So that was the biggest lie that these Jews have ever told. They lied about the resurrection. And they're lying about it today. And people tolerate these bastard rabbis when they get on TV and try to discredit our holy gospels and pretend they give them, these so-called Christians, they're not real Christians, give these people a mouthpiece. They let them get up and deny our gospels. I'd rather have them be honest and come out and say, your gospels are full of lies, Jesus is a liar, and so forth, because at least you're being honest about your false religion. Don't try to come out and pretend that you like Jesus, and Jesus was a good guy, and try to pretend to other people that the gospels aren't really teaching these things. Now, most people don't really read the Holy Scriptures and they get what they deserve. Fallen away Catholics, as I say many times, are the most stupidest evil people in the whole world, the biggest imbeciles. They don't even open up their Bible. For instance, when they come out and try to tell you that Pilate was after Jesus and Jesus was a rebel against the state and Pilate had a vendetta against them, how utterly and totally false that is if you read the Gospels. Pilate says time and time and time and time again, I find no guilt in this man. Pilate even liked him. How could this guy be the number one wanted man in the whole Israel when Pilate said, I like this guy. He's innocent. I see no guilt in him. It's throughout the scriptures, but the Jews will have you believing, if you don't read the scriptures, that it's not in there. They try to say, they try to point to the fact that Pilate killed some other Jews elsewhere. So what? He didn't kill Jesus. He didn't want to kill Jesus. He liked Jesus. He thought Jesus was a just man. It's throughout the whole scriptures. Now, these Jews are coming out to the point where they're saying, that never, now they're either going to make you believe that it's not in the Gospels, but if anybody has a little bit of common sense and goodwill, they're going to open up the Gospels and read them and say, hey, Mr. Rabbi, you're lying to me. I had to tell you something, but it's throughout the whole Gospels. The Jews killed and murdered Christ and crucified Christ. They were the main instruments that crucified Christ. You're lying to me. The other Jews who know that the Gospels got them by the neck, they're going to come out and just say the Gospels are full of lies. And they're going to say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are liars. All right? So, but what did our Lord tell us about most men, children? Most men are liars and deceivers. Now, we both can't be right. You understand what I'm saying? Either Jesus rose from the dead or he didn't. The twains shall never meet. I got nothing in common with that rabbi. He refutes my most solemn beliefs. And either he's right or we're right. We both can't be right. And I'll tell you something, that rabbi and everybody that denies Jesus has got a spitting in the face of the history of the Catholic Church, which has an unbroken line of miracles that anybody could witness and see. Even down today, we have miracles they can see about saints that continued on with all the miracles that were done in the Old Covenant era of raising people from the dead, healing the sick, curing the blind, raising people from the dead. All the Catholic saints are filled with these miracles, uncorrupted bodies. The evidence is there for you to see that Jesus truly is the Redeemer. He did rise again, and you don't want to believe it because you don't like him. Because he's telling you to do something that you don't want to do. You want to disobey one or more of his commandments. You want to remain in your rebellion. Now, it's so foolish when you get a rabbi out there and you pretend that he's my friend and we're going to have some type of an ecumenical dialogue, and this guy denies that Christ rose from the dead. That's the cornerstone of our whole religion. It's the cornerstone of the true religion from the time of the Old Testament era, when all of the Old Covenant prophets and saints were looking forward to the Redeemer, to the Messiah. They prophesied that he's going to come. They prophesied that he needs to die to make reparation for our sins. They prophesied that he can open up the gates of heaven to them. They understood that they go down to Sheol, Abraham's bosom, and they could not get up to heaven until this Redeemer comes. And not only did the Jews know this, goodwill people who knew God, even knew God, who weren't Jews, knew that there was going to be a Redeemer, like Job. They knew there was going to be a Redeemer to come, that we needed to be saved, that men were sinners, that we couldn't get to heaven unless this Redeemer pays our sin debt and opens up the gate of heaven by resurrecting himself and giving us eternal life and bringing us up to heaven. And this Jesus did it. This Jesus fulfilled every one of those prophecies. His resurrection, if Jesus just died on the cross and he didn't rise again, then he's a liar. If he can't raise himself up from the dead, then how could he be God and the Messiah? See? So when they attack our very basic dogmas, we have to be tenacious like pit bulls against them, to let people know out there that they're the liars and we're not. And I'm especially speaking to people who profess to believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and you let these guys get away with murder. They're making monkeys out of you. Where is your conviction that you can let these people run around and make these claims, and just because he says, I think Jesus was a nice guy, but he happened not to be God, that's blasphemy. That's an attack against our whole religion. But you have to make a choice, people. I've said this many times. There's people in the world right now profess belief in a multiple of gods. There's a few things all God men can know because of the law upon their heart. Jesus tells us that in Hebrews 11:6. All men can know that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that seek him and a punisher of them that disobey him. So all men can know by the law upon their heart, God's grace and common sense, that there's only one God. There's not two God, because if there's two God, one of them is more powerful than the other, and that other could not be God. So all men by logic can know there's one God. They can all know by logic he's a just God. And all men can know by logic, without even knowing about the true God yet, that all men are sinners, that there's just something rotten evil in men, and that we're mostly liars, and we cheat, and we deceive, and we steal, and we hurt one another. Anybody out there that's listening to me doesn't know about the Catholic God. You can know those things. But then, by God's grace, your job is to go further and find out, who is this true God? How do I escape my death penalty? I know we die because I see death before me all the time. Is there a life hereafter? And how can I get eternal life? And how come there's evil in the world? And how can I save my soul? The true God, it gives everyone the grace to ask those questions and to find those answers. And when you read through the Old Testament, you're reading about the coming of the Redeemer. You're reading about how sinful men are. God's paved the road for us when Jesus finally came and did redeem us and did die upon the cross to pay our sin debt, as Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 53 about the suffering Messiah, and that he should rise again and then bring us up, the Old Testament elect from Abraham's bosom, and bring them up to heaven, and then join a new covenant era when Catholics die. If they die in a state of grace, they eventually get to heaven. If they don't need to do any reparation for their sins, they don't go to purgatory, they'll go straight to heaven even. So Christ has given us this resurrection. He is the promised Redeemer. And the surprising part about this thing is to show how these Jews lie and deceive. Even a lot of these Jews will admit to you, even now, they believe in a Redeemer. Most of them will tell you that. They just don't believe Jesus was the Redeemer. They even believe, a lot of these Orthodox Jews, that the Messiah is supposed to die and rise again. I say many times that false Messiah in Brooklyn, Menachem Schneerson, you know, that false Messiah, right? He died, and the Jews still think he's the Messiah, and they're waiting for him to rise again. So my question to you Jews is, guess what? He's not the Messiah. You admit now, you do admit, that the Messiah has to suffer and die. You're agreeing with Isaiah 53. You're agreeing that he's got to rise again. But I'm telling you, you missed the boat. That the true Christ rose again. He's the Catholic Christ. He's the one you missed. He's the true Messiah. Stop lying to yourself and stop lying to other people. Because some of you Jews in the beginning didn't believe it because you didn't understand Isaiah. You didn't think the Messiah was going to die. But if you knew the scriptures, you knew he had to die. And you knew he had to resurrect. But I'm specifically talking to these Jews who believe in these two prophecies. I'm here to tell you, get your heads on straight now before it's too late, because when you die, you're going to go to hell. Menachem Schneerson is a false Messiah. He's not the true one. Jesus Christ fulfilled all those prophecies you yourself admit to. Not only did he fulfill all those prophecies, he fulfilled the converting of the Gentile nations that you people think is going to happen with your Antichrist. So what I'm telling you is that the Christ that you're waiting for already came. And his name is Jesus Christ, and he's a Catholic Christ. He's not even the Protestant Christ. He's not the Vatican II Christ. Now, we're going to read here about, you think it was just the old covenant era in which men are not to be trusted. Oh, how foolish you are. It's the same old thing time and time again. And anybody who reads the Holy Scriptures and has an ounce of goodwill, they're going to know that almost all mankind is evil, liars and deceivers. It's a constant thing where God punishes the bulk of mankind to convert a few. He's only calling out a few. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter the narrow gate, for narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Matthew 20, 16, many are called and few are chosen. Luke 18, 8, Jesus said, when he comes the second time, when the Son of Man cometh the second time, think he find faith on earth. Think he find faith on earth? He says in Matthew 27, 34, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. Men were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up until the day in which Noah entered the ark, and they all knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So Jesus is talking about, in the final days, there are going to be so many evil liars and deceivers that it's going to be like in the days of Noah, and will he find any faith at all? What does that mean to all you millions of so-called Catholics out there who think you're Catholic? I'm telling you, you're not. You're lying to yourself. You're just like the original Jews who thought you had the true faith, but they're only Jews by faith and name only, but not in their hearts. They were rejecting dogmas in their hearts. And it was made manifest when they rejected Christ. You so-called Catholics are now denying dogmas all over the place. But you think you're Catholic. But how could you all be Catholic if Jesus said only a few are going to be faithful? What does that mean about all you Vatican II apostates? You Society of St. Pius X apostates? You Sede Vita Contis people are going to Sede Vita Contis churches where your priests are holding on to one or two or more heresies. I'm telling you, you can't all be Catholic because Jesus said there's very few. Okay, so one of the prophecies is there's going to be very few Catholics. Examine your conscience. And the fact that you think you're Catholic means nothing. Because Jesus says, and we read it in the scriptures in Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. And our Lord says in Proverbs 12:15, every way to a man seem right to himself. In Proverbs 30:12, he says, there's a generation that is just in its own eyes, but is not washed of their filthiness. And he says in Timothy 2, 3 to 5, he says that just people are going to arise in the final days or have the appearance of godliness. They're going to call themselves Catholics, but they're going to be blasphemous, disobedient, rebellious, vain talkers, traitors, stubborn, puffed up, lovers of pleasure more than God. And he says in John 16, 2 to 3, they're going to persecute you in the name of the true God. And Jesus says, in fact, they don't know me at all. Now, logic tells you people out there you can't all be Catholic. As a matter of fact, logic tells you that almost every one of you is a liar and a deceiver, and you're lying to yourselves if you think you're Catholic. I'll prove it to any one of you. If you want to email me and contact me, I'll show you where you're not Catholic. I talked to a person who believes in the salvation dogma, in the true salvation dogma, and really believes in it. And he believes the way the church teaches it, that only those who die as Catholics have a chance to be saved. Which means anybody who dies and is apostate Jew or a Muslim, anybody who dies as a non-Catholic goes immediately to hell. That's the salvation dogma. But I want to talk in particular to these people who claim to believe in the salvation dogma, and they do, but they're going to the Society of St. Pius X chapels, and they're traditionalists, and they have the true mass. Fine. The mass without the faith is only going to get you a deeper pit in hell, we know that. Unless it's your Holocaust or abominable to me if you don't have the faith. I desire an obedient heart first. So my point is this, and I spoke to somebody recently about this, and he says, I believe, he's not going to the SSP 10 anymore, this individual. I'm working on his conversion, and I think there's hope for him. But what do I know? You know, I hope. That's all I can do. But I said to him, this person, I said, anybody that's going to the SSP 10 and believes in the salvation dogma is a heretic on that point alone. On that point alone. Why? He wouldn't be in that church more than 1 second if he fulfilled his the Catholic obligation to profess the faith and to admonish sinners. And what is that obligation? It's the crux of the whole Catholic life. St. Paul says it's not enough just to believe in your heart. You must profess Christ on your lips. Our Lord said, if anyone is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him. In Mark 8:34-36, he's ashamed of me. He denies me. I will deny him. If you believe in the salvation dogma, and you know that Society St. Pius the priest doesn't, because he wouldn't be there if he doesn't. He has to deny the dogma. Or he would not be in Society St. Pius the 10th priest. Because their blasphemous apostate founder, Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, was an abominable heretic. Period. And about 4 of his major writings, this guy comes out and says, a Jew who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ and denies Christ, when he dies, he can go to heaven. A Muslim who denies Christ, when he dies, he can go to heaven. That guy, as I say many times, in the height of the Holy Roman Empire, when we had an Inquisition, would have been bullwhipped and burned at the stake if he didn't repent. And even at that, he might have. That's how bad it is. That's how serious it is. This guy denied the whole necessity of believing in Jesus Christ. My point is this. You say you believe in the dogma. He's a heretic according to us. Lefebvre is, and according to God. I'm going to that church and I'm not saying nothing. I'm not denouncing the priest. I'm not going up to the priest and saying, Father, I want to talk to you before I go to your mass. I got a big problem with you and your founder. Well, what is that problem? My obligation to profess the faith is found in Canon 1325:2, which says if I don't do this, I implicitly deny the faith. And my obligation as a spiritual act of mercy of admonishing sinners and instructing the ignorant demands me to tell you that your founder, Bishop Lefebvre, was an apostate for denying the salvation dogma. He believed people can get to heaven who die without believing in Jesus Christ. He was a heretic. Do you agree with that? I guarantee you, pal, you're going to be thrown out of that church within 1 second. You may not even get another sentence out of your mouth. Guaranteed, that priest is going to get so hot under the collar, he may even physically hit you and physically throw you out of his church. Then you got to also do it to the priest. Father, how do you believe that too? Well, you're a heretic also. Now, what are your odds do you think of you being able to continue to go to that mass? Now, first of all, you can't anyway because you're not allowed to knowingly pray in communion with heretics. But the logic of the thing is that guy's going to kick you out in a split second. I'm just trying to concentrate on your obligation to profess the faith here. I'm saying that if you say you believe in the salvation dogma and you're going to this guy's mass, you've denied your faith, implicitly denied it, because you haven't gone up there and told the guy your founder was a bum. Your founder was an apostate. Your founder denied Jesus Christ. And so do you. And then you watch how fast you're going to get kicked out. And I told this person, the mere fact that you're going to that mass proves to me you've denied that dogma implicitly. Implicitly. It's called a sin of omission. That's how you share in another person's sins, by silence and by being a partner in the crime. Because they even preach it from the pulpit. It's in all their publications. So you understand, children, how men are liars, how men are deceivers, how they tell you, I believe in this, but I'm going to go to this guy's mass and he doesn't believe in it, and who cares? But it has everything to do with the truth that God has given us that we need to set us free. And Jesus said in John 8:32, the truth shall make you free. And it's the truth, all of the dogmas of the Catholic Church. You deny one dogma, you're a heretic. And your obligation, if you hear anybody deny a dogma, is to go up, I've got to tell you this because I love you, but you're believing in heresy, you're a heretic. Let me show you the truth here. If you're doing that in these chapels, you're going to get kicked out. This is the core thing I argue with. There's other issues to talk about, but I want to concentrate on your obligation, a Catholic's obligation, because you're not Catholic if you're in these churches, but if you were, your obligation is to get up there when somebody's denying the dogma. If you love our Lord Jesus Christ, if you really believe He rose from the dead, if you really believe He created the Catholic Church so there's a way that men can know the truth and be saved by that truth, and you don't profess it when it's being denied, you're a liar, you're a deceiver, you're a Caiaphas, you're an Ananias, you're all the Pharisees, and you're worse than them even. You're worse than them. Because they weren't even publicly professing heresies like you guys are out there. So you're telling me, how can Richard say that all of us millions of people aren't Catholic? God says it, and I'm proving it to you. And I'm telling you that if you say you believe in a dogma and you're going to Mass to somebody who denies it, you don't say nothing, I'm telling you you've sinned by omission. You sin because of your silence. You sin because you're a partner in a crime. You sin by scandal, because all the children and the other people in the church are going to think you believe like that apostate priest does. And I'm telling people to read my article, my trip, the SSB-10 and the CMRI, because I confronted one of these bastards, SSB-10 priests in Idaho, Post Falls, Idaho. And I couldn't wait to get at him. And when I walked in there, you have the old lady come in. There are all these little old ladies, these little old heretics that they're leading us, and they all deserve it. They don't care one bit about the faith. She comes walking and goes, "Oh, Father, you gave such a nice sermon. It was so wonderful." You know, you hear all that kind of stuff, sir. But he's not talking of anything that really needs to be spoken about. We'll get into that tomorrow in the second part of my sermon. Maybe now if I have time, I don't know. Okay. I don't have much time for that, but I'm going to finish this story quickly. I'm in there with two other people witnessing to this priest, and we're putting him on the spot. First, we want to prove to him one of the heresies of John Paul II, the apostate John Paul II, by showing him where John Paul taught in Crossing the Threshold, page 99 or 96, and in several other of his teachings, that the Old Covenant is still in effect and it is still in force, and the Old and New Covenants come closer together, which is the denial of Jesus Christ. Because why is it called the Old Covenant, children? Because it's, oh, it ain't no longer in effect. Jesus died on the cross and replaced it with the New Covenant. If you say the Old Covenant is still in effect, you can't have a New Covenant. You can't have it both ways. Although, so you don't put new wine into old bottles. All right, that's Mark 2:22. So anyway, we show this priest the teaching where John Paul II says, we ask the priest, is the Old Covenant still in effect? And he goes, oh no, the Old Covenant is not still in effect. Good, Father, that's right. The Old Covenant is not in effect. It's not. Read this. John Paul II says the Old Covenant is still in effect. He reads it and says, the Old Covenant is coming closer to the New Covenant. He says he doesn't really mean the Old Covenant here. He means the Ten Commandments. It says the Old Covenant. I said, you better get your glasses fixed, pal. That says the Old Covenant. It don't say the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was part of the Old Covenant, and the part of the Old Covenant was brought over to the New Covenant, but the Ten Commandments was not the Old Covenant. So we cornered him. He says, well, you laymen cannot make these theological distinctions. You mean I can't know what the Old Covenant is? God made all men to be stupid, so there's no way to know the truth? Then how is it that the church demands us to believe our faith, to know our faith, and to profess our faith if I can't know what the Old Covenant is? This is how lying this priest was. But anyway, we nailed him on that one, and then we went into the dogmas. I says, and plus Lefebvre signed the Vatican II documents. All right? And then he goes like this. Oh, but when we're talking about the Old Covenant, by the way, the old lady comes in again, and she's sitting at the table, and she goes, what's going on in here? What are you talking? He's a good priest. He's a good father. He gives good sermons. I says, we're talking about the Old Covenant, man. Do you know what the Old Covenant is? Old Covenant? What is that? Who cares? He gives a good... I don't know what you're talking about with the Old Covenant and all that. Now, here's your typical Sunday pre-Vatican II Catholic. Doesn't even know what the Old Covenant is. Doesn't even know what a dogma is. Goes to Mass every Sunday like a robot in confession, and then she's going to heaven. She's straight on the road to hell. And she doesn't care one bit about the Old Covenant. If you say the Old Covenant's in effect, it's a complete and utter denial of the whole Catholic religion. It's a denial of Jesus Christ, and it don't matter to these people. So when she said, I says, ma'am, I says, if you don't do the Old Covenant, you're a heretic. You're in trouble. And she goes, oh, and she got all fussy and ran out. Now, after the priest was still trying, he says, Father, you're a liar. You better get, because of glasses. That says the Old Covenant. I'm sorry, Father. And it'll say the Ten Commandments. Okay? So you're lying. And don't tell me laymen can't know the faith, because then the church was wrong to demand that they do know the faith and to teach that we go to hell if we don't know the basic dogmas, the cherubimus. There are articles of faith that all Catholics must know, without which if they do not know, they will go to hell. Period. And if I can't know what the Old Covenant and New Covenant means, that means I'm a brainless idiot. God's grace doesn't work, and God doesn't will for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. You lying bastard priest. And I think his name was, I forget, it'll come to me, you can read the article. It might come to me as we're talking, but I'm going to finish it on this point. Right after that was done, then we got into Levi. I said, he signed all the Vatican II documents, and there was heresy in them. And he goes, are you saying Lefebvre was wrong? I'm saying he was a heretic. He denies the salvation dogma. Just like that, I said to him. He got him and said, He said, get out of here now. Get out. And he stood up. He was furious. Get out, because I attacked his idol. You see, Bishop Lefebvre is more important than God. He don't care about JP2 saying the old covenant is still in effect. He doesn't care if JP2 kisses the Quran. He doesn't care if Lefebvre says Muslims can get damned without believing in Jesus. But he cares about Lefebvre. That's his idol, because he believes like Lefebvre. He got so hot under the collar, it looked like he was going to jump over him. He said, hit me, but he got to say, get out now. I said, and you're a heretic too, Father. And then, it's interesting, because in the beginning, I was telling him about people going to hell, and he says, you can't judge nobody, right? Then he ended up saying, I'm going to hell. He says, to me, he says, so you're going to hell. I said, so I thought you can't judge nobody. So you got me going to hell. I said, well, I'm going to judge you, Father. You're going to hell. And I know you're on the road to hell. Then he ran out of the room. Because he had to gain his composure. He was going to jump over the table. And he ran out of the room. And then I was waiting for one of our friends to come back in. And he comes back in the room. And he goes, get out! Get out! I said, I don't want to stay here anyway. Bye. And that was it. I didn't. That is what happens if you profess your faith. Now, I told you in a nutshell the main problem. We can argue about jurisdiction, about epikaya. We can argue about the study of the composition. I can prove all those things. But I'm giving you one of the core elements of what's happening here with sins of omission and the lack of the obligation to profess the faith. And I'm telling all you people out there that think you can hold on to the salvation dogma and that you can pray in communion with these people and that you don't have to denounce them, I'm telling you, you're a liar, you're a deceiver, you're not Catholic, you're on the broad road to hell, and I don't care if an angel from heaven came down from heaven and told you everything is just peachy keen and fine. You're a liar. And Jesus says it and God says it throughout the scriptures and the sermon for now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording is produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. Visit our St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us or email me, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, at rjmi@johnthebaptist.us or send for a catalog to the just mentioned address.